Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey everyone, and welcome to RPG From Scratch. I'm your host, Josh LaForge, and with me today is Liam, Doug,
hello,
and Max.
Hi.
Today we've got a lot of stuff to go over, like usual. I think we're going to start off by completing the initial steps for Another Path. But before we do that, a couple paths need a step six. Champion and Command, most notably. Now, we put off Champion. I think we can stop putting it off. Same with Command. So, this is before we get into our roadmap of things. This is right before.
All right, step six for Command. You don't get anything, but you get to pick another party member to take another step.
That's really fun. Horribly complex and difficult to manage, yeah. but fun.
Or what about the idea of you just make a lieutenant and you're like, I grant this guy two command abilities.
Lee Yum, lieutenant. We talked about Citadel getting a squire.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kind of like some kind of vassal for command even more.
Well, I wouldn't say vassal. I would say like a underling.
Crow. Yeah.
A crony.
A second.
A toady.
Yes, master.
Okay, hear me out. Master Blaster. You get a smart little creature to sit on top of your head.
I think Command would be the smart little creature that sits on everyone's head.
Double.
You got to find a big dumb thing and then...
Have Death craft one.
Yeah, the thing is, so right now the only pets, this is pet mechanic.
Yeah.
The only pets we have are for Death.
Yeah.
And it's a very complex one. I don't think I want to add complexity to Command.
Okay. So like a golden retriever then?
Well, I mean, we'd have to add some manage. I mean, this is something else you have to manage, so it is complex. But I don't want it to be as complex as Death because Command is already managing the whole battlefield.
Yes.
Right? What if it's somebody that's like...
Can just relay orders farther?
I was going to say that... You know what? I'll write down all these suggestions. Okay. Can help with orders.
Or like, aren't there some reactions where you need to do a thing, you need to be in melee range?
Some, yeah.
That just allowing there to be two spaces where you can do that is nice.
I was thinking like a shield brother, you know what I mean? Somebody whose job it is to kind of just stay by you.
Could they maybe get some of your skills if you get rendered unconscious? As if you were like second in command, like you have the con, you have to take over?
Let's throw that down. I think that's...
That might be a little
complicated. No, that would just be called chain of command.
I think it's a little too much like... Well, I'm going to write it down, but I think it's a little too much like Radiance popping back up after they fell down. You know?
Do you know what the chain of command is?
No.
That's the chain I go and get and beat you with till you realize I'm in command.
Oh.
That's Jane.
My dad always Firefly. Used jumper cables.
Ooh.
All right. Lieutenant, who can take over if you go down?
Oh, I don't say take over. They would get a smaller subset of skills.
Sure, yeah.
You know, it'd be dumber. You'd be shittier.
Okay, dumber and shittier. All right, writing that down. What if it's not just for you, but for the whole party? Like somebody who just holds extra shit.
A toady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he can run across the battlefield and people will swap out their weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
Like a caddy.
A page.
A Johnny on the spot.
But that feels a lot like Squire then. But I guess that does feel better for Command rather than Citadel.
See, Squire has aspirations. A toady is just a toady.
He's paid.
Yeah.
Actually, I think NCO would be the best. Like it's not a lieutenant. It's an NCO. It's a sergeant.
We want a Sancho Panza.
Unpaid intern.
This guy wants to sleep anytime.
Oh, I don't want him to be an unpaid intern. I want him to be an NCO. Like, if you got a bunch of peasant farmers, it'd be like, we have just the guy to whip you into shape. Mm-hmm. Sergeant?
Well, let's take roleplay flavor out of it for a second. Because if we go too much that way, we push the people who play Command in a certain direction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So somebody who can hold gear.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could choose between things, right? Like, you could pick the kind of caddy that you want or whatever. So far, we've got... Someone who could take over for you in an emergency, someone who can protect you, or somebody who can work for your whole party to carry gear. And
I also think just someone who can be the the springboard of your abilities.
So a second focal point.
Yeah.
Point.
I
of
like that idea.
What's the? There's like a bunch of you could just. Oh, I need to do an interrupt, but I'm back here. That guy will do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like how pets are tactically used. And I think that's, you know, it's appropriate for Command.
Let's say step 9 or 10 can take the shot work on enemies. Make it friendly fire.
You force enemies to attack?
Yeah.
Maybe.
force enemies to attack each other.
We got a couple of those where you redirect, you know, to hit an enemy.
I'm just saying, hey, you, take the shot. And like, what? Okay.
So caddy, second point of origin, lieutenant, and...
Bodyguard.
Kevin Costner.
Exactly. Yes. Like, yeah, picks you up. It is fun just having a dumber and shittier lieutenant.
Lieutenant Dan. My Forrest Gump.
This is my Forrest.
I don't hate this idea. I'm trying to think of, like, there's clear tactical advantage to just having somebody who can physically occupy a space and flank and give people the upper hand and things like that, right?
And that feels in flavor with what command does.
It does. It's missing some zazz. You know, just a little bit of zazz on here.
What if it's...
Do you pick two?
What if it's like a false targeting dummy kind of thing?
Do you just carry a dummy?
Sure, why not? You got everything else. You know what I mean, though?
Mm.
That feels like the light doubles and...
Oh, yeah.
I like this. It's the right path for it, more so even than Citadel, I think. Like, the flavor of Citadel wants you to have this, but not the mechanics, right?
Yeah.
So, the mechanics of Command want this more than Citadel.
And you can always multipath.
Is the idea that... Okay, because there's multiple roles that a person, with, you know, quote...
Toady, sure,
yes. A toady can do in combat and out of combat that... would be interesting. Like, if in addition to being the springboard for some of those abilities, it's like, do you just send them? It's like, I'm just having trouble thinking of, like, you just have them wander the battlefield, or you tell them get there and they get there in so many rounds as fast as that character can move, or do you say have them have a role like a saboteur sneaky thing where are they, I guess the real question I'm asking is this toady, are they going to be expected to fight like another member of the party, or are they purely support in the background and you shouldn't expect them to even be targeted by bad guys?
I think because you can choose your roles, that would depend. A bodyguard would mechanically
just
function
literally just watch your back and,
like, yeah,
you know.
or even you could have someone where, like, the focal point character, you could even say the command character is in charge of where they moves. You're shouting orders and he's doing your stuff.
Like, what would Kelton do with a bodyguard?
But your team should be your team. It shouldn't start being like, oh, now I can start my team that you're collecting toadies, you know?
I think I might have some zazz, but it might be too complicated.
Okay, lay it on this, brother.
It is a full character that starts a certain number of levels below you.
Okay.
Right, like maybe you're at step 6, so you're minimum level 5.
Mm-hmm.
You get a level 0 person. They only earn momentum from combat.
Okay.
They don't earn it from social encounters or anything like that. And you just keep track of their momentum. You spend it as though it's an extra character.
Okay.
Complex, but then we're not pushing anybody in any particular direction, except for we can limit the number of actions you can dedicate towards this.
We could limit the number of actions. And another thing we could do is, like, also only these 4 steps.
We could.
I think Citadel, Command.
Marksman Champion. So all the martial ones.
Yeah, no, non-caster can't look at a caster and go like, hey, you know what?
Although getting a level 0 pocket healer
is fun and I think broken.
It might be, but you have so much.
Healers are so good.
They are good.
Yeah.
And Command is already so good. Having a pocket healer.
I think actually pocket ice would be the most devastating.
Also very devastating.
You just lock everybody down.
Pocket sand.
So you can't get another command. You could get Champion, Citadel.
And maybe with diminished
Scoundrel?
Maybe diminished stats, too.
Scoundrel's too complicated.
Scoundrel's what are they? Complicated. Are you going to roleplay as them? Are they?
I think so. Well, right. No, I think it's up to you.
Okay.
Right? They die, make another one. We don't care.
Could they be a homunculus if you wanted them to?
No, because that feels too limiting.
Well, why not? You could say, like, you're...
It is... Yeah, for some of the... Don't say it's a homunculus. You could, in the lore thing, like, oh, you
the death character animated one.
Created one, and because your charisma is so strong, or your composure is so strong, or your ability to lead is so strong, this thing is like, hell yeah, brother, I am down.
Could this be a way for, like, if you reach this level and you don't have anything in mind yet, you just wait for the right funny voice from your GM to come along and be like, that's the person I want.
Yeah.
Like, just, I was like, I'm just a thimble goblin. It's like, well, we want you. You know, it's like, you're on the team.
Yeah, you can have the red cap. In fact, I would like this is a little too complicated, but I would like the rule of, you can't just conjure them from nothing. They have to, you have to find them and convince them. You could do that very simply.
Yeah, I think that's between you and your party group, but we'll the suggestions for how
you could literally
works.
Just hire a guy.
Yeah, we could say, like, suggestions, it can be any character you've met. It could be an old family relative. It can be, use your imagination.
Batman.
We'll just throw that in.
I'm not here to use my imagination. I'm here to roll the dice. You tell me if I hit it or not.
It's your boy Ward.
We could allow Scoundrel, but I feel like we have to... I don't feel like it's breaking the game to allow Scoundrel because of the control abilities. I'm worried that somebody will do it and be like, fuck, this is complicated. Kill him in his sleep. I'll make another one.
Yeah. See, my thing was thinking, like, Kelton would burn down a circus and save one kid and then say someone else did it.
That's a great idea.
And then have them stake their whole life on getting revenge against someone Kelton just kind of dislikes.
I even think we could even still allow trapeze, them to have... Right? We could even allow them to have a profession, because if they're that many levels below, it's not that big of a deal. I so think you can they have start... a skill monkey, too.
Five levels below, do we give them a boost to profession?
Maybe. Actually, I like that.
I'm still trying to figure out.
Because they're new adventurers, but they are people who have been around at their profession.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If we just say it's, you get another one five levels below, we don't even have to have
people
that
conversation. Can work from there.
Yeah. I like this because we literally don't have to give them anything else.
Nope.
That's a whole second character. It may be broken, and I would like to test this soon, because it sounds like I'm trying to think of ways to break it. But if we limit the paths that can take steps
we,
down.
We could even, one of the things that we might have to do is, got to be straight path, so it's just controllable.
So like, if you can, whatever their
you can
core
have
is,
some, you could do some funky stuff with multipathing to really double down on it, some stuff.
Why not?
Or,
right?
Or I'm good now. My bodyguard or whatever is good enough to just like take enough beating. Now I only have to worry about damage.
How about this? How about we say we think we should limit it to martial paths?
Yeah.
But until we see it in action, it's the Wild West.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
Fine.
Also, I'm pretty sure this will be broken.
This does have another secondary potential bonus of like, cool, someone's character dies. Well, we got a guy who's been traveling around and already knows all the stuff.
It's true. It's like, we could just GM, how we feel about just granting the momentum to bring him up to level.
Yeah. And then you can go recruit, the command can go recruit another guy, and you have another full party member. That also just solves a bunch of problems roleplay wise. That's just fun.
Like the movie Beer Fest. There was... a brother.
Oh yeah, you could call me Landfill.
A brother who died, and then he just came back and was like, just call me his name, and let's just pretend I'm him.
He told me everything about what was going on. You don't have to catch me up. Yeah. I know it all.
There's this one skit. I can't remember what it's called. It was like the adventurers, the dungeon delvers, something like that. It was old video pre-YouTube.
Boba Fett?
No, that's Faradore D&D.
Around the same time, but
it was around the same time. But basically, there's this wizard, and they come across this river, and they're like, "All right, cool." He's like, "Aren't you guys forgetting something?" He's like, "What? Your wizard's terrifying fear of water?" And he's like, "Oh, right." And then it cuts back to them. He just puts his hands on the side of his head and screams. And they're like, "Yeah, you roll to see if you have a good enough save. You don't. You're crazy." And it's like, "Okay, the barbarian's gonna knock you out," and he kills him. Later, it's like, "Okay, we'll prepare another character. Come by." It's like, "Oh. As you go to this new place, you meet a young wizard." And it's like, "Oh shit, is this your new guy? Yes, is this, He's like, "No, I just want to roleplay this because like this is a total stranger. You've never met this person before." It's like, "Hello, would you like to join our party?" "Yes, I would." And then that's the
Can you imagine the sheer shit goblin that Kelton's gonna have as his toady?
I can't wait.
What kind of monster?
Make it a Pawa.
Wants to follow Kelton.
Make it a Pawa.
That's it's like the border between pet and toady
gets real
it gets real blurry with the little raccoon fellow.
Only you can understand it.
Every time he brings you like you're like, "My sword," he'll like drag it over, hand it up to you, and then you take the sword and he puts his little hand out for food, you know, like, "All right, here you go."
Every time he kills an enemy, you just hold your hand out and he nibbles the little treat from your hand.
What was the name of the name of the dillo?
That guy over there.
Was Champ a toady?
No,
Champ's a pet. Champ's a mount.
Yeah, secret cavalier class. Although War Dillos is a really interesting concept.
Are they Droidicas?
Basically, you're just like, "What? We put chainmail armor on a Dillo. Why? Extra."
I would like to add an action economy rule.
Okay.
I think that you and this character share action economies, but you get four total actions, and you may only take one attack or combat action each.
Okay.
So you get an extra move or an extra minor.
Yes. No. Each of you can do a combat action, like to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of you can then move. But you always go first, and your toady always goes second. So that way you can't set yourself up for something.
Yeah.
But you could use minor, swift, all that stuff. But either of you can take three full actions, and then the other person only gets one. But you get four total spread across. You can each use three, but once you're four, you're done.
This sounds really good, but also then I remember some of the other step six, and I'm like, okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
That's fine.
This is as good as death.
Yeah.
Well, it might be better. It might be the best one. However, we keep rewarding Radiance for being the team player, yeah. Right? I think Command, if you're playing Command, you're looking at this and drooling, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it also it opens up a lot of fun role-playing. It opens up a lot of fun interactions that can possibly exist. And again, maybe be broken, but if we sand it down and make it work, there's enough good to try and make it work.
Okay, well, let's talk about the momentum thing, because I think if we're going to treat this as a full level zero character, they're not going to keep pace with the rest of the group if they only level up during combat.
That should be the point, though. They're a toady.
That's true.
We don't want another god, right?
No. And also, you lose one, you get another level zero guy, you're like, fine.
Well, no, I think you get one 5 levels below you.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to just kill this guy to get one that's a higher level.
Should it... Yeah. Wait, are we overthinking this? Should it just be that they're 5 levels below you...
Forever?
Forever. So you don't have to level them up. When you level up, they level up?
Maybe.
I don't hate that. That's pretty cool.
Just don't think about it.
Maybe, but there's also a fun thing of... I dragged this stupid fucker through hell and high water. I like the idea that guy's been around long enough. That is rewarded.
Right, but I'm saying you still have that, just have it be automatic.
Porque no los dos.
Yeah, but it's the same reward of if he dies every encounter. If you drag one, like I think the one you drag through should be better.
Here's two that don't have the balance issue. Okay, two solutions.
Yeah.
We have the one you guys are talking about the one where this guy just lags behind, right? But then, like, there's an incentive to kill him off to get another one that's higher level, which I don't love.
Okay. I actually hate it.
Yeah.
Because people will do that.
I'll do it.
Here's the thing. It's conceptually gross.
Yeah.
Because you could just not do it that way.
I think we definitely should do it that way. No. That introduces exactly what we were going for in the origins of this game, which was cholera. And we've gotten a pretty far away from cholera.
Love in the time of cholera. Then there's two that are more balanced that are automatic, right? So we've got the one that you guys are talking about where it's just as you level up, so do they. We could say in the same way, right? So if you level up a profession, so do they. You level up an attribute, so do they. Right? Okay. So they can't, like, you can't be like, I'm going to take a step, this guy's going to take an attribute. No, you...
But they don't have to take the same attribute. Correct. I don't want to look... Correct. Let's not lock them that way.
No, that's ridiculous. No, that's... I think
they may prove useful in other areas, and you'd want to improve those areas.
Because the point of them is to be like, I need a meat shield, motherfucker.
Yeah. Right. So that way you're not falling out of step. You guys understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And the other one is they just earn full independent momentum.
So I think,
like,
they should
do
that.
You roleplay as the other character. And then how about we offer this as an option, right? This
two packages.
Yeah.
More management, better reward, or automatic, don't worry about it.
Yeah. A mid-fight devil level up where you level up.
And your toady levels up?
But your toady levels up with you, but then you spend their momentum to level them up twice, and you just got like a fucking power bomb. Just, you know?
Your toady shoots up way past you in levels. I like the first answer best. You take a step, they take a step.
Yeah.
You gain an attribute, they gain an attribute. You gain a point of profession, so do they.
Because Command is complicated enough. If we're talking about, here's a whole new character, you either can or don't have to roleplay as them, you're also directing them in this, and now you're keeping track of their momentum and your momentum, and that, like, that's, it's like your notebook has just unfolded 3 more times, you know?
Yeah.
If we have a simpler version, you know, right. I don't worry about that. And two, the kind of people who are going to be drawn to Command, that is not going to intimidate them.
Right.
They're spreadsheet people. Command people are spreadsheet
They're
people.
Robot gorilla man.
But it's just you're now playing two parts.
Correct.
I don't know how to use Excel.
So you might be into spreadsheets, but are you ready to roleplay two people?
I would love
at the
that
table?
You would make someone else at the table roleplay him. So you could have back and forth conversations. That's the command. Not with yourself.
Think of how fragile this character is when they when they arrive, right? Like, you've got like 50, 60 HP. They've got 20, maybe. You know, like, it's complex. But I think if you're playing command and you've gone, if you've kept going command this whole time,
sure.
You're how cool with complexity?
How quick can you replace this character?
I think that depends on GM.
Okay.
And also, you're in a city, probably pretty easily you can hire a guy.
Because I'm saying,
in a cavern,
yeah,
you got to go find a captive or free somebody. Your GM will reward or punish you.
We were chasing that Larsa operative or whatever, trying to get back to the agency or whatever. He was a big badass. Like, what if you just send your crony to get involved with him? Yeah, like every time. Like, yeah, you ran out first. Get him engaged and then we'll come around.
I don't know. I think there's also a lot of fun of, we need this house to be watched. Got a guy for that who's in the main party.
I have got a ton of names for this.
I was thinking help.
All right.
Help wanted.
Apprentice. Trainee. Mm-hmm. Scholar. Student. Protege. Acolyte. Adept. Learner. Novice. Initiate. Disciple. Fellow. Junior. Understudy. Attendant. Preceptor. Mentee. Assistant.
Mentee, I don't mind.
Junior master. Journeyman. Ensign, intern, cadet, and neophyte.
Intern.
I don't like.
How about?
I don't like intern because there is connotation different from the denotation that I don't particularly enjoy. And there's a lot of ones that are direct student that I don't like because I think there's an implication that it should be similar to you.
But all could be applicable depending on the situation.
I think thinking of something more like hireling or henchman, minion,
I think
quizzling.
I like the idea that you can pick.
Fuck off, Max.
I like the idea that you can pick what they are, but what would you call them in the book so that there's no confusion?
Hireling.
A hireling or a...
But maybe you didn't... Like, this. The thing is...
Like, if the default name is you're the...
Groupie.
Apprentice. Apprentice. So if it's... The default name is so-and-so's apprentice, but you say, okay, but the circumstances we got them under, let's say I hired them, so they're not really an apprentice.
We'll call
really
it
studying.
The apprentice mechanics, and you can use it however you want.
So I've narrowed it down to the ones that I like, just because that was a list of 25, and then I added one. I got cadet, protege, adept, initiate, disciple, follower, attendant, and mentee.
I think attendant, I like that.
Of these, I think I like attendant.
Yeah.
The best.
Mm. The attendant mechanic.
Because it's the polite way of saying toady.
Yes. Attend to me.
Yeah.
Yes. You bit.
Or attend to our group in this battle. Yeah.
I can't wait to just have a new attendant every fight. Just every time.
You waste a lot of paper, Max.
Yeah.
We had a good run. I think it's time you're on your way.
No. Until
that's,
like
that's why
stop.
He's
I'm
that's
the first
why,
one who survived yes. after all. No, well, you see about that. You pull his sword out.
That's why he uses the laminate.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like, I want to get to the point where the rest of the party has to say something when I bring out a new.
Like, listen,
come on.
You have to role play as each one, and you're like, "Hello, I'm so excited to go on this adventure with you."
Oh no! Or even just
everybody's just ringing their collar, like,
"Stitto, do you want to come with us?" I'm like, "Absolutely fucking not."
See, I think Max, what you're pitching is what we call in the business a red shirt.
Yes,
you're not looking for an apprentice or an attendant.
Mm-hmm. All right, we agree, attendant.
Yep, I like attendant.
Does champion get red shirts?
No, champion makes red shirts and brown pants.
Buddy Browns.
I think of these that I listed, I think the three I like most are attendant, follower, and protege.
I think attendant, like, you're not teaching them anything.
Yeah, I like
protege implies that they're learning what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah.
Follower and attendant, I think, are the job and attendant's a more fun way of saying it.
In the book, we'll just go, here's a bunch of
you
titles.
Call them whatever you want.
Yeah, here's a bunch of titles. I think it would be nice to compile this from, here's a bunch of titles you can give them. Here is our perceived implication of what that title means and what relationship that describes.
A follower could be the super fan who follows you in Oblivion. By Azura, by Azura, by Azura. You are my favorite champion. Like, it's in fact,
yes.
Yeah, even the champion. So there you go.
You have an acolyte of McGargle, like, in your party with you, and he's just making weird shit.
So many fun little roleplay things just by that name.
Okay, so you both move on the same turn, but your primary character, your command character, has to take their actions first.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. That's simple, and I like it. So, all right, you get a party full of people who go Tolden command, and then they each pick a different step one, so they're varied, and then they all hit level 5, and they get they get a little crony.
Yeah.
And what do we? What do they have them fight on camp nights? Do they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so much yes. What's that thing where you?
No, you do. You do full like Young Justice with them.
Oh God, you show up as Batman
with Robin.
Yeah,
I thought more of like, you know, it's almost like American Gladiators or whatever. You just like, you just want to see them.
Yeah.
Run the obstacle. Who gets to be king of the mountain?
And we just, brought up, you know, Michael Vick before.
Yeah. I say. You give them each like a foot long tree branch, and then you tie their wrists together with like two, three feet of rope, and just let them have fun. That was in a Bond movie, right?
There was a handcuff
from Russia with. Is that?
No, that's Tomorrow Never Dies. There's a handcuff chase.
No, the one really with good.
Made me think of the knife fight and Beat It.
Yeah.
That's what
I thought. From Russia with Love, though, is the one with the knife fight where they're holding onto the scarf.
Okay, cool.
So let's say group of command guys. Send their little minions at everybody.
Uh-huh.
The minions die. They die horribly.
Can we call them commandos?
Suicide Squad.
We'll reference commandos in the in the text.
Because like, if you have more than one commander, your cronies become commandos.
Okay, we'll reference commandos in the text. It's like for instance, a player can send his commando.
Can we write a show that's like F Troop, but it's about special forces, and we call it Commando with like OH at the end? Exclamation point.
That sounds like a serial.
No, because it's not 1992.
Damn. Did you guys watch F Troop though?
Yes.
No. Oh, man. It was a... It doesn't even matter.
It's a spoof comedy about... Yeah.
I was... So, they die a horrible death. What happens?
Good question. Do you leave them? Do you have to take care of them? What do you... What are funerary arrangements for cronies?
You have to play out their death scene.
Absolutely, you do.
When they die.
It's getting dark. Yeah.
I do want there to be a requirement that you cannot role play your own crony.
But then what? Who does?
Then why do it?
And who plays
it? No, I think you need to, I think you need to talk across the table to somebody to convince them. Like,
so you level up, so now I got to be the asshole? Like, so now I have to do it? Like,
no, they control.
I'm over here.
They control the character. They control the character mechanically, but I just want more scenarios where you're not having conversations at the table.
That's a group dynamic.
Well, yeah, but I think that's like you could do that with your split personality or something like
I mean, even for that, you should have to pick someone else at the table.
All the work you're already fucking doing at the table, role play is a bridge too far. Like, you think that's the one thing you can't do?
No, it's just because like, then
I'm doing it.
Well, the only thing is, then if you're having a solo conversation with your crony, no one else at the table is engaged.
Nobody's doing that.
Well, people are definitely doing that.
The people that are doing that are already doing that.
I just like this mechanic because it's going to lead to the stupidest fucking hijinks. But there's also going to be like a Treyu stuck in the bog.
Oh my God.
Moment. So if you just like bawling at the death of your crony.
No, my tiny goblin knight. Fuck you.
I think who role plays it, if the GM want, like if you want the GM to do it, that's fine. If you want to do it, that's fine. But like, I'm not making this character unless I could send them on an errand and have them speak to like a really scary informant.
Right.
You know, on my behalf.
Oh, gosh. It's
like, you got to tough it up one day, kid. Go on. Give him a piece of your mind. Tell him I said to go fuck himself.
It's like,
tell him what?
What did your master send you here to say?
It's like, he told me to tell you his words, not mine.
He said, no, thank you.
He said, first, don't shoot the messenger.
Very clearly.
Second, he said, tell him I said to F himself. And I said, are you sure?
Because I wouldn't say that to you.
I'm on your side. It's like if the Ghostbusters had an accountant or something, you know?
I think we could all agree that everybody needs to calm down.
Can the DM roll to have your crony change sides against you?
Oh, God. I think, so they die, they quit, whatever.
Yeah.
How do you get another one?
Hire them, recruit them, find someone else, get a new apprentice.
Well, okay. So
craft them out of bone.
Have a job fair.
Is it a momentum score?
Should we put a time limit on how early you can replace one?
Yes.
So do we want to say 24 hours, 48 hours?
24 hours, I think.
I would say that should be based on...
Christ, he's not even cold yet.
It should be based on your location. It should be based on your location and at the GM's discretion. And then we make a chart with some guidelines.
How about minimum?
Minimum 24 hours.
Minimum 24 hours.
No, in fact, I'm going to actually say longer than that.
24 hours is a long time in game time.
That is true.
Because they could die and then you like unshackle a prisoner who's got no gear.
Yeah.
And
go get his uniform.
There's blood on it.
Don't care. It's warm.
Do you want to die here?
You're telling me you never stole a dead man's boots? Yeah. Come on.
I haven't worn my own boots in years.
Whose feet am I wearing?
This was made for a goblin.
It says, to Bill, love Janice.
He never talked about his personal life.
And his name wasn't Bill.
I never learned his name.
He didn't look like a Bill.
You look like a Bill. Do not tell me your name.
You have the life of a mayfly.
He's got this other random trinket. It's like, that little shit stole from me. That's mine. Like, I'm glad he's dead.
It's Indiana Jones and Short Round. Right? Yeah. Like, that's what we're dealing with here.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think you should be able to dismiss them as well, to be like, you're done now. You've done your service.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Or fire them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For rolling bad.
GM's discretion. If roleplay is an important aspect of how this character arrives, the GM may prevent you from dismissing them until you reach a more appropriate area.
Yeah, because he's like, you can't fire me. We're in a dungeon.
Get out.
I don't know how to go back.
At least give me a torch.
He's like, well, we're just going to kill him in his sleep. You know, it's like, okay, I'm just going to let you know you're not going to find another person in here.
Yeah, well, fuck Craig.
So we'll just say minimum 24.
You're the one who brought up compensation while we're in the dungeon.
Rules about, I think when it comes to gear, they can carry gear and that kind of thing, but there's not like a separate money pool for that character. No. Like you're just working off of your resources, right?
Yeah.
Because it all improves you.
Yeah.
Okay. And you don't really care. Like,
we should even put a note for party dynamic. Like, do not expect priority and gear for your minion.
I don't think we should make notes like that. Yeah. I think this is a character that's 5 levels below everyone else.
What if my minion in his past life was a rich banker and he brought huge store of Dairon in his bank?
He lost it. Oh, man. I know. He can't prove himself.
Because he would need to be employed by a adventurer for his livelihood.
Right, but that brings up the employee part. There may not even be money involved if you're going like Chewbacca with it. It's like, you saved my life. I owe you.
Debt,
yeah.
Hostage.
Or even just, I think you're neat. I want to go do that thing.
I was thinking,
stick with me, kid.
Like a character who's like, would take people out on parole, and if you survive, you get to go.
That's fun. I mean, these are all concepts. Yeah. All of these can work, right? It's a demon you've made a contract with, and you have like...
Yeah.
But it's a shitty little one. It's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. He's your Mushu.
Hey, you're a librarian.
I just want to nibble toes.
You're a librarian. We need your knowledge. I kidnapped your
specific,
children.
But okay, pal.
All right, you get all the toes you can handle. That's fine.
Save the toes for me. You're going to battle.
The last toes on the menu. This little piggy went to the market.
It's like, he's creepy, but he gets the job done. I know.
Your commander just has a pocket full of toes. Go over there.
All right, I like it. Print it. Step 6 command, you get an attendant.
Boom. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
All right. When editing a previous episode, we talked about an ability for Radiance where they take on the death score of a party member to keep them from dying. And then Doug asked if there's a way to gain death score without being unconscious without this ability. And the answer was no. We said maybe we could do a mechanic like that for death later. And Liam suggested that death may later increase their damage by having a higher death score. I think it might be better to give both of these abilities to death instead. Like, these abilities sound like they work together. You take a party member's death score, your damage increases, instead of leaving it to Radiance to take it on to use later and then reduce it. But we could allow them to remove death score from teammates to gain it for themselves and then boost their damage from the amount they have. But then I think in addition to that, because they're death, they also need a way to either gain death score independent of that ability without dying, right? Like they can choose to do an ability that gives them death score to increase their damage, but maybe some kind of like life tap, whatever equivalent.
Yeah.
That obviously is adding a lot of risk to death because they don't have any survival stuff. They are the squistiest mages, right? Like even fire has like ways to increase their dodge and stuff. You can obviously reduce risk by having more momentum. Like that's up to you.
Sure.
But that's not fair as much, right?
Like because then you have to pad out. Then the whole thing is, do you only do that for a step or two before you give them a Kamehameha of death where they're like to can dump a death score on someone and just be like, you just fucking die.
That's what I'm thinking.
We're like, I have 1,000 death score. Death now has come for you.
Some way that like once per scene they can dump some death score. Just some, right? Which I feel like if you're playing death, people aren't going to be too upset. that you like, oh, I got like up to 40 death score because I've been knocked down a bunch. Pick me up. I'm gonna dump it on this dude. I feel like that's thematic with death.
Yeah.
But also, like, we could do that way, or maybe, and we could give them an ability that if they finish a scene with a certain amount of death score, they get like an extra momentum or two.
Giving extra momentum attached to a path feels weird, but the idea that it would be a boon that could be used later,
okay,
feels good. Or even if it could accentuate something with your golems.
Yeah, that's not bad either.
You're like giving them the soul that you stole.
No, well, it's yours.
Yeah.
Like, right? It's your soul because your death has gone up. Well, what if we did it so the solution that we're talking about is just we need a way for them to dump death score, whether it's through an ability or whether through a passive or something like that. Like, I don't think too many people would be upset if death score went down faster than anybody else's for a rest, right? Because
that just makes sense.
Right.
Other than maybe like Radiance and Death. Oh, yeah, they can.
Yeah.
They get good real quick.
Well, I feel like mechanically, in the role of a healer,
we can
justify Radiance having a way to reduce death score, but it's not really on theme. It's on theme for the classic role that they fulfill. Whereas, like, life, if we made a life path, that would be on theme for them. Right?
Are we talking about reducing the death score just on the player who has the ability or being able to also soak it up from other party members?
We're talking about both. Stealing death score from other party members is pretty fun. That's a fun idea.
Yeah. But what do you do with it?
What do you do with it?
I think, I don't know if this is on brand, but it would be interesting if you can sort of spill it out to anything that is alive, whether that's an enemy or whatever. Or let's just say let's say you're fighting in the woods and you did the job and the bandits are killed. Oh, fuck, you know, our cleric or whatever's on the ground and they have this death score. If the death person can sort of transfer the death score out of that body of that player, and it's like, well, there's no bad guys around, what do we do? If you touch something living, whether it's a tree or a field of grass or whatever, it can spread and just kill the tree, you know, turn it into a, you know, you see all the leaves fall off or whatever. I don't want to get into the nitty-gritty of like, well, one person is worth one tree. Like, you know, I don't think that matters.
Right.
But the idea that if there's something alive and you're willing to sacrifice it, it's almost like a sacrifice. Like, if in order to get this player back up and remove their death score, you got to give the death score to someone else or yourself.
I feel like those are kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Because if we have an ability that, like, does extra damage for death score, you could just target a tree.
Yeah.
And dump, like, if you take it into yourself and then dump it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all right. Well, how about we connect the damage with the dump? You don't gain a death store. And
I took a dump that gave me some damage.
Yeah. You're about to say you went damage.
Here's the thing: you don't get to a level of death score and it gives you bonus damage for everything. You have to spend death score for your damage.
Mm-hmm. How do you gain? Let's say, because there's going to be tons of fights where nobody in your party has death score, right? I feel like you're always going to, you should always get more or a bigger benefit if you take it from a party member than if you've gained it through a passive ability. But we need something that allows you to gain it on purpose without like running face first into an axe.
Yeah. You know?
So let's assume that in most fights, probably nobody will be gaining death score.
Most fights, you don't go down.
2 out of 3 fights, nobody in your party is
I'm going to say way more than 2 out of 3.
Well, I'm going to say.
I'm going to say 5 or 6 out of 10.
Someone goes down and they have a death score?
No. Depending on how your party is built. Keeping people up is, if you are on top of your shit, something you can do.
Sure, but I mean, damage can get spiky.
Oh, yeah.
One guy can get hit twice and go down. And then, you know, they gained 5 just from being down the one round.
Yeah, and also, but also having 5 death score is kind of like...
So what?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, except for Death, who starts salivating now. When they're like, how much do you have? But
there's a taint on your soul? Let me see that taint.
I'm a medicine man. Show me your taint.
There's a super basic one, which is every time you get to a certain step in the path, every time you use a death ability, you gain a death score.
We could do that. I feel like this is something you have to actively... Maybe something you
it's
actively...
It's like a weight you have to pick up.
Like a swift action or
every,
a move action.
Every time you kill an enemy or reduce them to zero, you gain a death score equal to whatever. Any time... What's the core ability? The spread?
Malediction.
You can attach it to malediction.
Can't do it on a core ability.
You're
because
right.
of how we get here.
Every time they give a bane?
Could be. Let me think.
Not even attach it to a directed death ability. It's just, you have an ability that gives a bane. You have this step in death. Oh, you blinded them because you have scoundrel or whatever. Death score. Like.
Ooh. What if You can use an ability once per scene, and it will grant you death score based on a dice roll. And if you use it on a party member to remove theirs, you get a bigger dice score to roll.
Okay, yeah.
What would, if you're not taking it off of a party member, would you pull it out of the air? Like, what's the idea with it? Like,
yeah, basically. You suck off, You suck, you give death a...
you're courting time. Death.
Yeah.
In fact, the ability should be called...
Courting
death.
And then we'll put in the, we'll make sure that we'll use the suck off language in the, it's part of my courting ritual. I think, should we say there has to be something dead? Because, like, what if you're fighting golems? I feel like you should still be able to do this.
Yeah.
You know? So let's say that you siphon the entropy of the world around you. You can also use this on an ally who has death score. And if they do, you roll these dice and you can remove up to that amount.
Yes.
And gain up to that amount. Okay.
And the amount you gain has to be the amount you take away.
Yeah.
If they only have 11, you can't.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. Now, how do we dump it? Because I feel like the amount that you can dump is also a random, like, dice roll.
Yeah, I think just have it be bonus damage, but you have to spend it to get the bonus damage.
What if it's half your death score?
How often would that come up?
But also, I think you should be building your death score and dumping your death score.
Mm.
It should be fluctuating.
Okay.
You're drawing death score from attacking enemies or reviving allies. You get a bonus. Maybe you roll it dice tier 3 starting. You rolled a 6. Get rid of 6 of that death score. Oh, you don't have the minimum death score? You do the maximum amount of death score you could do.
Okay.
So the action by which you do extra damage is the thing that is also purifying you.
That's cool. I feel like you should be gaining a passive bonus to damage as you gain death score.
I don't like that because then you're going to want to hoard it.
Yeah.
And that is not great.
I don't know, your death though. But then if
no, but then it's you're a bomb.
Well, yes, but then if we give
them... And I mean a bomb both ways.
Yeah.
Like, it's high risk, high reward, but it's also, the risk is always worse.
What if you have one per scene ability to dump a huge amount of it? Like, so you're building it, and then you're trying to get rid of it before the end of the scene. So that you don't, you know, end up with it at the end of the scene.
Well, you make, like, a singularity or whatever and drop it?
No, again, I think you build it up, you spend it doing something that could do bonus damage. And then, yeah, you have a release valve that if you get it off before the end of the scene, Radiance has their shielding.
Yeah.
It's going to be no better than that.
Right.
That shielding builds up.
Yeah. It
fast.
Retribution is huge. I don't know if they need another attack, right? But if we gave them an attack that was like every time they do it, they build death score. And if they do it to an ally, they roll huge numbers and they reduce that amount, gain that amount.
Uh-huh.
But that specific attack keeps going up in damage based on your death score.
Okay.
Right? So it's not going to affect your... Yeah.
It's just this one.
But then that's all they're going to use.
That's all they're going to use. And it's going to fluctuate greatly. So making predictions on how tough
I kind of like
your death magic is. Being a DM for that is going to get real difficult.
Like you were saying, if you roll the dice to see how much of the death score you take off of a fallen NPC, after fallen player character, let's say, you now have a pool of points.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of not necessarily divvying them up, but allowing you to use those to increase your damage on anything you do in a short amount of time, I think makes sense and is fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be as simple as, like, okay, if you get... You know what? Fuck it. What if it's however many points it is? Like, let's say someone's down and they have 3 death points. And you're like, all right, well, I just got all 3 death points. Well, what's the next closest dice tier? It's a D4. So you roll a D4 until you spend those 3 death points. Maybe on your first roll, you roll a 4. Well, add those 3 death points. Those are your extra damage you banked up.
That's okay. The problem is that... I don't want this to be scaling inversely. You know what I mean? Mm. As their damage goes up on a slow, relatively slow exponential curve. I don't want this thing to be something that gets diminishing returns fairly early.
The more damage you get out of wherever you pull it from, the more you can spend it, but it could be spent really fast. You know, it's like it could...
Yeah,
you
but
know.
It's all, but also part of this is going to be based on how much momentum you're going to be willing to bank in case you get caught with a bag.
Yeah. That was,
and that has stayed relatively... stationary because death score is accumulated by characters regularly stationary, but we're putting this at like step 6, right?
Yeah,
that's more than halfway through the steps.
Yeah,
we don't have to.
It's
we don't
exactly
have to. Halfway. Yeah, we don't have to plan out. And also, even at that point, if you're drawn 5 or 6 death score and are able to bank it and spend it in 12s or 10s here and there, that's still useful. That's more than useful.
I was thinking, what if we tied it to momentum? Like, instead, it's a daily ability to dump death score, which sounds decent, right? Like, if you're like, we rest to remove death score generally. A daily ability where.
Sleep like the dead.
Once per day, when you use an ability that deals damage and you spent momentum, you can spend the same amount of death score and add that many d6s to the damage.
But then it's being able to spend momentum for damage in a way that no other class can.
Sure.
But I don't like that. Well, like, I using momentum in specific abilities feels wrong. It should just be a base thing that affects every character
the same way. So don't tie momentum to abilities except in the passive thing that if you're aware of your death score because of how much momentum you have.
Yeah. But what I was suggesting had nothing to do with momentum. Right. It's, you know, just a matter of moving these points over here through a dice.
Sure.
You know.
I like the idea that you'll get a high variance roll for the amount you remove as the amount you add. Mm-hmm. So the risk remains, right? Like if we gave you 2d20 you're like, oh, I'm gonna add this much damage for my death score, I get to roll 2d20 to see how much I add and remove. Mm-hmm. And you roll snake eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the risk is good, right? Like that's a decent, but I feel like I would make that a once per scene rather than a once per day because of the high variance.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because you can always rest to remove death score as well.
And, yeah, and as long as you're not physically harmed, you're fine.
The fact that they remove death score is now, if we give them an ability like that, if they lose death score faster than anybody else when they rest, that is now like, oh, but I don't want to, right? Like you can make it so that they're trying to burn the candle at both ends or manage this, like death score becomes a resource for them in a way that it isn't for anyone else. So we could say that like if you play death, you now lose double the amount of death score when you rest. So you rest 8 hours. Most people will lose 8 death score. You lose 16. You're like, oh, I could have used that 16. You know? Yeah. So you have to actually be engaged with it the entire time.
Sure. But now I think we've overcomplicated this ability. We're like, okay, it removes death score from allies, puts risk on you.
I think this is 2 abilities.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that makes more sense. But I'm like, this is putting a lot on one thing.
Agreed. No, I think there's 2 abilities. One where you can take death score under yourself or remove it from enemies. And it needs to be on the same step, right? Because these are synergistic.
Yeah.
And the second ability.
It's a whole toolkit.
Right.
You can't. So I think one without the other, you're like, oh, cool, a thing I will
never use.
Never use.
So I think step 7, maybe we do this, right? Step 7. But I'm thinking on one step, an entire step for death will be they gain a feature that makes them lose death score from resting at double the normal rate. They get an ability that allows them to take on death score either from the environment or from their allies. And they get a once per scene ability that lets them spend death score in the way that Retribution spends Retribution score, except they have to roll for the amount, unlike Retribution, which can just dump it all at once.
Yeah.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yes.
Do we like death score once per scene, like 2d20? Because
I do like that. Yeah. The high variance is nice.
Okay.
It becomes unpredictable, and it just feels deathy.
And if you succeed, it feels...
Sorry.
If you succeed really well, it feels amazing. And if you roll that snake eyes, you're like, fuck!
There's a panic.
like you really freak out.
I can't do anything about it. I'm stuck here.
Yeah.
I don't know how to climb down. I'm really vulnerable.
The stars aren't right. I can't do it.
I feel like... okay. What if it's once per scene you'll get the damage, but you only remove death score from yourself if it targets a sentient living creature?
Okay.
Like it's not going to work against a deer. Mm. Right? Like it has to be like a sapient creature.
Paula's
like,
count.
Yeah. Can't be a golem.
Oh, poor little Paula.
You can use death on a golem.
Homunculus, yes. Golem, no.
You can use the death thing on a golem.
Yeah.
And it will take the damage, but you don't get to remove any of your score.
Yes.
You can't put it in it.
Because death is uninterested in that thing. It's like, no. I do not need this.
Or we can make it 1d20. It's 2d20 if it's a living sapient creature. And it, in all other cases, it's just 1 and you don't lose your death score.
I can dig that.
Sure.
All right. What do we call the feature where you lose death score at double the normal rate when resting?
Yeah, sleep like the dead.
Perfect.
Yeah. I like it. It's simple, and when you hear, like, sleep like the dead, what is that?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. Then we have, we need to define the ability that allows you to take on death score.
Siphon something is good.
Siphon death.
Yeah.
right?
You shouldn't want to suck off.
Rather than death, what about something that's a little more conceptual, a little more woozy, or like siphon fate or siphon?
I like entropy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll say like
entropic siphon.
Channel entropy.
Channel. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because okay. It's more about the interplay, because you can steal from things that are not alive, but you can also steal from things. Yeah, I like that, because it's okay. Not like you're not like stealing someone's death,
right? Channel entropy, is it? It's a swift action once per round. You roll a d6, you gain that much death score. If you target a party member and they have death score, it's 2d6.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah,
I mean that's a lot.
Yeah.
You can clear someone. No problem.
But it's up to chance. So,
I don't know. I feel like I want the... Why don't we just make it a d20? Just a d20.
Yeah.
Right? It's up to... It's just...
Could be anything.
Yeah.
Well, because you can't take more than what they got. So correct. If you roll a 20 and they only had like a 6...
Yeah.
You
know, you're so, like, cool. But full clear.
Yeah. Okay. D20. So, channel entropy.
If they have 21 death score, man, if you roll that 20... Yeah. No, the whole thing is still... You roll that 20, they're still going to be like, oh, thank God. Like, there's no amount... That you have where you remove 20 for it and you're not
thanks
like
for nothing.
Only 20.
And then the final ability, so that's we got sleep like the dead. Not sleep with the dead. That's a different path.
Heyo.
You take a darker path.
that's step 12.
You need to be on a 12-step program.
Oh.
So sleep like the dead, then channel entropy, and then our final ability, which I don't think is an attack action. I think it's probably an immediate action that you get to choose when you deal damage once per scene, where you're dumping your death score into...
Do we go with entropy again, or do we...
I don't think so.
Yeah.
There's a... In Magic the Gathering, there's a card that you swap life totals with people.
Yes.
It's so mean.
I think it's called Fuck You.
Nerds and their magic cards.
Axis of Mortality. That's a fun name. That's a magic card.
Mortality, I like, though.
Yeah. Mirror Universe.
You could literally just call it Memento Mori.
Profane Transfusion. That's the one I was thinking of. That's a good name.
Transfusion's good.
Tree of Perdition.
Oh, is that on the Road to Perdition?
Probably. Man, Axis of Mortality is that's a good-ass name. Transfusion's good.
Mortal Transfusion?
The idea of, like, a balance being shifted, it's a good idea.
Death scales.
Yeah, like Anubis.
The scales of death.
Right? Anubis did the scales where you weigh your heart against a feather. Oh, I kind of want to... Oh, I had an idea. I kind of like it. Death becomes you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You like that?
Sure.
Yeah. Sold.
Okay. All right. Death becomes you. Instant or immediate action, you deal damage to an opponent. You rolled 1d20, up to that much if you have that much death score. If you target a living, sapient creature, it's 2d20.
Perfect.
All right. That's death. I like it. We'd have to give Radiant something else. That shouldn't be difficult, right? We talked about how it's not appropriate to use this ability, the Radiant's ability, to remove traumas. Maybe we should consider something that does.
Yeah.
You don't want to remove death score and a trauma, but like now...
Right. If it's separate...
Yeah, now that there's someone removing death score, shouldn't there be someone removing traumas?
Removing the traumas shouldn't be easy, though.
You need step 6 pure radiance, though?
Yeah.
Like, you're halfway to Jesus already anyway.
And we don't even really need to remove them so much as suspend them.
Oh, yeah.
Or you heal them faster, like the cost is half as much or something.
That's good. Maybe we could probably do both. If you're Radiance, you can oversee somebody's medical checks to remove traumas.
To close the wounds or whatever.
And you can assist with it, and they, you know, it adds a bonus to the...
Yeah. Or even just...
Shortens the time.
Or you get to ignore the negatives for this amount of...
Yeah. Well, that I think is a different one. Yeah.
Yeah. Something that you just don't... In the middle of the battle, you don't want to say, Alakazam, and then suddenly the leg is healed. You know,
no, you'd have to do this...
This downtime.
Well, I do think that maybe they should have an ability where you say Alakazam, and you're like, it's just not bothering you.
Right,
your leg is broken, you can't notice.
Have a splint made of radiance, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
It gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt in about 3 rounds, you know. But
you're okay for now.
Radiant opioid.
Oh, he says I'm okay. No, you're not okay. Just you're okay for just like another two rounds
for now.
Kill
that guy.
Yeah, kill that guy, then fall down.
Panacea or something.
Oh yeah,
placebo.
Placebo. God,
Radiant placebo.
I love that band.
You're fine.
Yeah, walk it off. Side note. We created Advanced Dazzling Ray in a previous episode. I changed the additional damage and healing wording to you may prematurely end the distance the ray travels. If you do, the final included target receives an additional 1d4 of healing or damage, if hit, for each space of unused ranged.
Fair.
And that's for step 9 radiance. All right, but now we need something for step 7 radiance. We workshopped removing traumas as a thing, but we have a martyrdom was the one that we used to remove death score. So we need something to replace that. I like removing traumas. I don't really like the idea of taking them on, but I kind of like the idea of suspending them.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect their length, like the length of the trauma or anything like that. It's just you roll a d6 and...
For a part of this encounter, you get to ignore that.
Yeah. Once per scene?
Yeah. Yeah. Gets you out of a pickle, but doesn't quite solve everything.
And it's only for one character, and...
I think we make it an attack action.
It's a stopgap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we make it an attack action because, like, it's got to be worth it. Like,
you're getting someone else up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not healing somebody. You're going to start, like, oh, I'm actually first in order. I'm going to spend my attack action to just give that guy a chance to have 4 rounds of uninterrupted
murder.
Yeah. How does this manifest? What's the...
Glowing light surrounds the affected area.
But what if it's a concussion?
Yeah. Just your head. No, the inside of your skull.
What if it's like an image of you in perfect health over top of you?
Yeah, okay.
Glowing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I like that.
It's an image of the best version that you could be. And you're just like, I don't look anything like that guy. You're muscular and just good haircut. I got to get that haircut.
So how about, just attack action. Let's make it at will. Not even once per scene, because it's going to take your attack action to do it, and it's a random amount.
All right.
Does that sound fine? It takes an attack action to use, but it's not an attack.
So you have to... And you might be able to just keep it popped up. How about, but only on one target at a time?
Only on one target at a time, only once per scene per target.
Yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah, because that's still really good.
I think a drop, if it's once per scene per target, we could drop the one target at a time.
Yes.
Because it's a big sacrifice for you to be able to cast that if it takes up an attack action.
And then you could stack it.
Yeah. All right, what do we call that for step 7 radiance? That's a really good ability. Oh, also, maybe can you do it for yourself? Yeah, that's fine. You have to sacrifice an attack action. We said panacea, triage. Oh, the image of yourself in perfect health. Right? Like, what do we call that? That's, I think...
Visage? The image of health?
The image of health.
Yeah.
Yeah, Liam. Plus some momentum, my dude. The image of health.
Sometimes going literal
has
its advantages.
Attack action, one target within 5. Roll a d6. The target ignores... An image appears of the target in perfect health. They ignore the effects of one trauma or all traumas. One trauma. One trauma for 1d6 rounds.
Yeah.
All right. I like... That's easy. That's a really good ability. The picture of health. That's what it's called, right?
And if you get multiple traumas, it's like, well, the one that allows you to stand up. Whatever one that is.
Yeah. The saying is the picture of health, right? Not the image. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Because it also is... Just a picture.
Yeah.
It's not real.
This is your image board, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Aim for this.
All right. Feel good about it. Thanks, boys.
Have a good night, you hosers.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, as always. If you have comments or suggestions, our Patreon is patreon.com/RPGFS. Our $2 up patrons can find us on the Omniverse Discord, which is awesome. On Twitter, we are at @HomebrewHombres. And until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.